Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord, our Savior Jesus. I would like for you to take your hymnal and turn to Psalm 23 in the front part, as we will read together this beloved portion of Scripture. Psalm 23, it says, don't have page numbers, but that's in the book.
About our Lord, that He is maker, that He is owner of all things,
is beneficial for us to consider when we refer to all our belongings as mine. Our personal possessions do not belong to us. They belong to Yahweh, the eternally present Lord God. So Yahweh is creator, he's maker, he's sustainer of all things. He is also unchangeable, all-powerful, all-knowing. He's present everywhere. He is holy, that is, without sin and hating sin. He is just, that is, fair and impartial. He is faithful. He keeps his promises. He is good, that is, kind. He desires our welfare. He's full of pity. He's gracious, that is, he shows mercy and kindness. He is forgiving. Our God is love. Yahweh is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Furthermore, David reveals to us in this psalm that this Yahweh, this eternally present Lord God, is our shepherd. Yahweh is the one who feeds us and gives us water. Yahweh is the one who guides us. Yahweh is the one who protects us and fights for us. Yahweh is our shepherd. No wonder we shall not want. Yahweh has everything. He is able to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. Yahweh is what he is for our good. Now, dear friends, think about your wants. Think about your needs, your trials. Think about the challenges that you face. Think about your life. Repeat after me. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
Question. Why then do we not always live like we really believe this truth? This psalm is so pretty for the ears. It's so poetic. But sometimes we don't stop to meditate on this truth. We might say, well, I know who the Lord is. He's Yahweh. I know his attributes, his characteristics. I believe it. Then why do I get moody? Why do I worry, or get angry, or stressed out, or a whole host of other sins that betray a lack of trust in Yahweh, my shepherd? Why do I? Why do each of you? The Lord is our shepherd. Then why don't we act like he is? If we have a need, doesn't our Lord own all things? Doesn't he love us? Isn't he kind and benevolent? Isn't he all-powerful, all-knowing, and faithful to all his promises? What need do we have that Yahweh is not able to meet? Repeat after me, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
What tremendous statement of faith and trust in Yahweh this is. I have no wants because the Lord is my God. The Lord, as my shepherd, tends and protects and guides and leads. He feeds me. He searches for me when I am lost and wandering. The Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd who is good at his job always thinks about his flock. He always acts on their behalf. So our Lord provides for our needs to sustain our lives. He has also provided for our souls. God's Word is the food and drink we as believers need. The truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ give and sustain spiritual life. When many disciples left at one point in John 6 and they no longer followed Jesus because they just couldn't understand what he was teaching. Remember what he did at the end of that chapter, he turned to the 12 and he says, "You don't want to leave too, do you?" Remember Peter's response? "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. He laid down his life for you and for me. When sin, death, and the devil would have destroyed us, Jesus the Christ, Yahweh in the flesh, lived a holy life to fulfill for all of us the holy, righteous requirements to be in God's presence. Jesus, Yahweh in the flesh, then took all sin on his holy body on the cross. When I say that, I think of what Hebrews says, scorning the shame. Jesus, Yahweh in the flesh, endured God's wrath and punishment. He died in bitter agony. He said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. "I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Jesus laid down his life to take away our sins and to bring to us full forgiveness. Don't let Satan nor your flesh tell you otherwise. Jesus took up his life again to give us victory over death, victory over Satan. We are his sheep. He is our shepherd. He also sends Yahweh the Spirit to create and sustain faith in Jesus, our Savior. David writes, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." When we wander from the Lord and wander from the Lord's pathways, our shepherd seeks to restore us again. Think of the story of King David. Remember that episode of many months, maybe as much as a year, when David had sinned with Bathsheba. And then God sent Nathan the prophet, who confronted him with his sins after that affair. Listen as David writes in Psalm 32. Perhaps we can identify with how David describes his life during those months of waywardness. He suffered much anguish because of his sin, and he writes, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand," God's hand, "was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then the Lord sent his prophet Nathan to say, 'You are the man.'" The Lord's word of law worked repentance in David. How the Lord restored David. Nathan said to him, "The Lord has taken away your sin." The Lord restored to David the joy of his salvation. The Lord gave him a clean heart, gave him a right spirit. And so acknowledgement of and confession of our sins restores our souls as well. This is why we begin our worship service with confession of sins, with absolution or announcement of forgiveness. So, dear friends, don't just quickly read through this confession. It's so familiar. That's the temptation. But think about your sins, how you've displeased God. How you have gone your own way instead of going down God's paths of righteousness. How you failed to do what your good shepherd requires of you or asks of you. If a sin of yours really bothers you, go talk to your pastor. Sometimes private confession isn't really thought very highly of, but it's a valuable asset and
a beautiful thing to do. I've had this. People coming to me, they're bothered by their sin. They confess their sins. And I announce forgiveness. It's like a weight that comes off the back. This is God's way to restore our souls. Then listen to the words of absolution with a believing heart. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God in Christ has secured your forgiveness. Live your life in the peace Jesus gives to you. Don't live for yourself. Live for the one who died for you and was raised again. So, dear friends, once again, repeat after me. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
The Lord provides for our physical well-being. The Lord provides for our spiritual life, forgiveness and peace and fellowship with the Lord. And on and on and on the Lord's blessings go. The Lord Yahweh also stays with us wherever life leads us. He writes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. One of the more difficult truths of God to understand has to do with life's valleys. Sometimes God leads us into dark valleys, into trials, suffering, want, affliction. What would you add to your list? Listen to what David writes about this. I will fear no evil. Trials and troubles do come, don't they? All these things are very real. They hurt. But with the Lord as our shepherd, they can do us no real harm. We can have this kind of confidence because we know that even then, when I have to walk through the dark valleys, my shepherd walks with me. My shepherd fills my mind with His promises. My shepherd fills my life with His presence. Think of David's life again. David had many dark valleys, didn't he? For many years, he was anointed to be king. And then what did he do? He ran for his life for many years from a king who hated him, who took the army with him, and finding him would have killed him. And after the episode with Bathsheba, violence never departed from David's family. And at one point, he even had to run from his own son, who would have killed him, taken over his kingdom. He had enemies of Israel all around, within the kingdom and outside the kingdom. On whom did David rely to get him through each battle? The Lord. Yahweh. David trusted that the Lord was his shepherd. He didn't have a want or a need because the Lord was present for him. Sure, if you look through the Psalms, you will see David's honesty. You can be honest with the Lord. David said, how long, O Lord? Will you forgive me forever? You feel that way, don't we? Friends, when you go through your valleys, remember this song. Remember your Lord's promises. Stand on your shepherd's word and recall who your Lord is. And then say with firm trust, once again, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
Cast your burden upon the Lord your shepherd. He will sustain you. That's one of His promises. Do not fear any evil, for your shepherd is with you. A shepherd had a rod and a staff. The shepherd rod he would use to defend the sheep, and his staff he would use to guide and direct the sheep away from what could lead the sheep astray. The bottom line for us is this. God protects and sustains His believers, His flock, as we travel on the path of life, and especially as we go through dark valleys. The last two verses describe what follows the dark valley. A feast prepared by the Lord and Shepherd of our souls Himself, and being in His presence forever. The heavenly banquet feast of eternal life awaits all believers in Christ. As we walk through dark valleys, we are encouraged by what lies in store for us, what our Good Shepherd has waiting for us in heaven. At one point in His life, this is at the end of His life, Paul wrote to a young pastor, Timothy, 2 Timothy 4. Paul was in the Mamertine prison. He would only get out to be executed. And this is what he writes. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. And Peter, at the end of his life, writes this, 2 Peter 3, according to His promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And at the end of his life, the Apostle John, the last of the 12, writes this. 1 John 3, beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we will see Him as He is. Just imagine that. That's what's waiting for us. Thanks be to Jesus. Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look forward to receiving your crown. Look forward to seeing your shepherd as He is. Look forward to dwelling with your shepherd forever. The Lord is the shepherd of His people. As much as sheep need a shepherd to survive, so we need the Lord. The Lord provides for our wants and for our needs. The Lord provides for our souls. The Lord walks with us through our lives, even through the dark valleys. We long for and can hardly wait to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then all God's people now say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.